Alright, what are we singing first?
Are we getting paid?
All right, everyone stand up. The slogan.
I'm not, she's not pacing. Are there rats coming? Yep, they're on their way, so we're going to get started.
All right, page 44. Page 44.
And canopy. Oh, I didn't know that was ink, but I should gain.
40.
Can you
share?
44. Yeah, the numbers are a little easier than these. Than the, those books. All right, ready? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Take it up a
little bit. All right. He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. I am my Lord's and he is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Very nice job. That was some good singing. All right, what is this?
17.
All right.
Come thou fount, page 17.
Who knows this hymn?
Page 17.
Who's heard this hymn before?
Oh, I do.
This is my favorite.
Yeah. 17.
Wait, let's all start together. All right, ready?
Sorry,
I think
bad.
A little bit higher.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, Thine my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Very nice job.
All right. You guys can put your hymnals away and get out your Bibles.
I don't have a Bible.
Okay. So Sarah's going to be giving the lesson tonight about the next rule, next two rules, I think. But before we do that, we had a little activity for you guys to do, a couple of verses to read. So if you guys want to turn the first one, I don't remember what the first one was. What was it, Jaden? Addie?
Was it the context one?
Yes. It was about finding the context. But what was the verse that we were supposed to go over?
Leviticus 11.
No.
Okay, Jaden, he raised his hand.
Leviticus 11, 9 through 11.
All right, there we go. So everyone want to turn there if you have your Bible. All right, before we start, I'm gonna say a word of prayer here. All right, let's bow our heads. Lord, just thank you for this time for everyone to meet, get together, and just get to know you better through your word. Just pray for just Sarah and I as we talk and try to teach the Bible. Use our hearts and where we're at. Just pray that any of our goofiness, whatever we have, it's no good, getting in the way when it comes to the Word of God. We need to be pure of heart, have a good mind, and just help us to just give out the Word of God in the way that you would want it for all these kids to have it. And I just pray for everyone here that they would have an open heart and open mind to be able to receive the things of God and just understand them clearly. So, again, I thank you for this time, for everyone that's here, and just pray you'll bless our night tonight. In your son's name I pray. Amen. All right. So, Leviticus 11. It's your third book in the Bible. All right. Jaden, do you want to read Leviticus 11, 9 through 11? 9, 10, and 11.
Yes.
Nice and loudly.
Oh. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters and the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the water, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination.
All right. So what's that all about? Well, let's talk about the assignment again that I gave. So, anyone remember kind of what the assignment was? Olivia.
To find the verses that you gave us. Right. And then what we talked about today, some of the Bible is written to us and some of it is written for us, and to find if these verses are written to us or for us.
There you go. So what we talked about last time was kind of the second rule or principle we always need to remember when studying our Bible, and that's called what we call rightly dividing the word of truth. So the Bible has these things called divisions. It has things that that where it's not all written to the same person or not all meaning. It's not all in the same context as we talked about the first time. So it's important to have when you're starting to read the Bible to understand the divisions. So that's kind of again what this activity is about. So getting into Leviticus 11 as our first verse, verses 9 through 11, it's talking about, if you look in there, just things in the water, and some of them you can eat if it has scales, and some you can't eat, it's an abomination unto you, and that type of thing. Now, why is that in the Bible? You know, why does that need to be there? We don't follow these laws, right? Is anybody, like, I don't know, does anybody have, like, strict restrictions on their diets because of what the Bible says? Anybody here? No, okay. So, anyone know why that is? Okay, Leviticus was given in the Old Testament. Okay, so the first thing you want to remember about when we're getting into Leviticus is to understand what is the book of Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament, and it was given for, God gave it to Moses. He gave it for Moses to give to the rest of the nation of Israel. So in the Old Testament, he was giving this to the nation of Israel. He was telling them the laws that they should follow. That's what Leviticus is. It's the laws that Israel's to follow, that Israel, the things that they can do and can't do. Because in the Old Testament, Israel was such a big nation, so many people running around, they had to have these laws to keep themselves clean, to keep themselves organized, stuff like that, okay? But again, we're not living in the Old Testament now. So what do you guys think? Do you think this verse, these verses are for us or not? Do you think we should follow these verses as a New Testament Christian? Anybody? Logan?
No.
Okay, pretty simple. This one's pretty simple to know. Your first clue, like I said, is it's in the Old Testament, okay? Second thing is just look at Leviticus. It's talking, you know, if you look at chapter 11, verse 1, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron. Okay, Moses is a Jew. He's the represents the nation of Israel, and Aaron represents the priest of Israel. So these things are not written directly to us as Christians, okay? Remember, like I said last week, all the Bible is written for us. Okay, we can pull things from it that are important. There are things in Leviticus that when you line them up to the New Testament, there are some principles that you can see that, I don't know, make it a little bit clearer, or just cool things in there. But as far as actually applying them directly to us, that's not the book of Leviticus. You wait till you get into the New Testament with the church. Okay? Does that make sense, everyone? Does that make anyone have any questions? So, if you turn over to, we'll get into our next passage, but first I want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. So in 1 Timothy is a book written by Paul. Anybody know who Paul is? Jaden.
An apostle.
Okay, an apostle. What specifically does Paul do? Jaden.
He writes to the church at Corinth 2 times.
Yes, he does. That's true. But Paul, in general, Paul... When God is, after Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he there's this we you know, you hear all these things about churches today. Do you go to this church or this church? There wasn't these churches in the Old Testament. All it was the nation of Israel. That's how God worked in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have this thing called the church, okay? So Paul, he's the one that God, after Christ died on the cross, God met with Paul and said, Paul, this is what the church is going to look like, okay? It's a spiritual body of believers, of saved people. They're going to do this, this, and this, okay? And so your job is now to go and start churches, to train people up. So when you look at, so all of Paul's writings in the New Testament are for the church, are directly to the church, in fact. So everything that Paul writes, we can, as a church, be 100% safe in there, okay? Everything he says, We're completely safe on it, okay? We don't have to try to guess the context. Everything Paul says, whether it's to a specific church, or in this case, he's writing to a guy named Timothy in 1 Timothy. He's writing to another guy telling him some things he should do, some rules he should follow as a pastor of a church, for the way to lead his people, stuff like that, okay? So when Paul's writing this book, we understand that as the church, we can take everything and apply it. So if we look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So you compare that to what it says in Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11 and a lot of Leviticus, not just those verses we went over, but a lot of other verses talk about you can eat this animal, you can't eat this animal. This animal is unclean. It's an abomination unto you. That's what it says back in the Old Testament. But now we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're in the New Testament. So Paul is saying, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. So there's a reason why when we sit down to eat, we bow our heads and thank God for the food he's given us, he's provided us. There's a reason we do that. That's because everything should, like it says, should be received with thanksgiving. And for every creature of God, in verse 5, it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Okay, so we don't need to worry about everything it says in Leviticus because Paul tells us every creature of God is good. Okay, so that kind of is where, you know, you can take what it says in the New Testament and look at the Old Testament and say, okay, right now, this is what Paul says, so we're going to stick with that. So, second verse was Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I'm going to read it. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what do you guys think? Is that for us as Christians? Do you think we're redeemed through his blood? Do you think we've been translated into the kingdom out of the power of darkness? Do you guys think that's happened to us? Anyone? Jaden. Why? What's your answer? Or like, what's your reasoning? Why do you think yes, this applies to us? Well, why do you think that verse? How do we know that's not talking to a Jew in the Old Testament or somebody in the future? How do we know this is talking to the church?
Because it's written to the church.
How do you know it's written to the church? It is? Okay. Yeah, you're right. But why is it, Logan? Okay. So I just talked about Paul. Paul is the apostle to the church. In this case, it's the book of Colossians. Okay, you can look just at the top there. Colossians is a church that existed back then, a church that, I think it was Paul, established a church in Colossia. And he's writing a letter to them saying, here's some things you guys, you know, need to do. Here's, you know, so he's opening his letter in chapter 1, writing to the Colossians. And he says, I'm going to read it again, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So because he says that, he's talking to the church, we can safely assume that's all that stuff has happened to us. Once you're saved, if you're a Christian, you're translated into the kingdom of Christ, okay? It doesn't appear that way, but spiritually we've been put into God's kingdom, okay? We're a part of God's plan, God's kingdom as the church in the New Testament, if that makes sense. Verse 14, that's a true statement. We do have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins, as it says. So, and like I said, I told you guys last time we met, it would help, you know, maybe help gather the context by reading kind of the start of the chapter. And you can, again, you can see in if we read chapter 1, verses like start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so the saints and faithful brethren, that's people who save. Those are Christians, people who are in Christ. Okay, That's us. That's talking to Christians. That's talking to the church. So we can safely assume what it says in 13 and 14, that yes, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of Christ and his dear son. We've had redemption through his blood. We've had the forgiveness of sins. Okay, pretty simple. So if you guys want to move on to the third one, to Matthew 10, verses 8 through 9 and 10. Anybody have questions on this so far, what we've gone over? Okay. Did anyone do the homework? Yep. Anyone read it? All right. Just curious. Cool. All right. So Matthew 10, verses 8, starting verse 8. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, nor the workman is worthy of his meat. Okay, what do you guys think? Is that for us? Is that directly to us as Christians? Logan.
No.
Why not?
Because he's telling the disciples to go preach the kingdom of God to the nation of Israel.
Where does he say that?
If you just get the context of the verse, and then also it's just talking to Israel because like Israel doesn't reject Christ until Matthew 12, so it's talking to Israel until then.
Okay. Kingdom of God. That's what he said. Kingdom of God. Look in verse 7. It says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So which one is it?
Yeah, kingdom of heaven.
Oh, kingdom of heaven. Okay. Maybe you just missed. Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Good answer. Jaden, what do you think?
Well, it's still technically in the Old Testament.
No. It says New Testament right here.
Yeah. But
and then it's after this, so Matthew's in the New Testament.
No, it's not until Christ dies.
Okay. So if you guys remember last time, I talked about, Hebrews talks about a testament does not pass until the death of a testator. So, yes, in your Bible, Matthew is in the New Testament, okay? Historically, it's in the New Testament. It wraps itself around all that time when all these events are going on. It associates itself with Jesus Christ because Christ is the testator. But that testament, this New Testament, as Jaden mentioned, doesn't go into effect until the death of Christ, okay? Does that make sense to everyone? Okay. So if you read here, even though it's in the New Testament, we you're not 100% safe like you are with Paul, okay? Not everything in the New Testament can be taken and applied directly to us. Can we take and say, this is specifically what I believe? We can take things from it and say, oh, there are good principles from this. There are nice lessons we can take from it. But specifically saying, this is what we believe, not everything in the New Testament you can take and say that, okay? So I'm going to read it again. It says, actually, start in verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles were these, and it lists out the 12 apostles. I'm going to skip down to verse 5. Says these 12, the 12 apostles, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in verse 8, these are our three verses. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. That's weird. In verse 10, if this was applied to us as Christians, any time we left our house or we we went on a vacation. You know, Sam, you guys just went to Disney World. If we, this was applied to us as Christians, you wouldn't have to take that journey without taking coats. You wouldn't be allowed to take shoes. It says, for the workman is worthy of his meat. It's saying you would have to earn, you know, you'd have to work yourself to get down to Disney World or wherever you're going to go. It's just saying, you know, he's telling these 12 disciples to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven, preach to Israel about the kingdom of heaven. And he's saying, no scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes. That's not applied to us. That's not for us as Christians. This was a special time for that Jesus called out for the disciples. Okay? So again, and same thing in verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Okay? We don't do that stuff. Has anyone here raised someone from the dead?
Yep.
Who'd you raise from the dead, Logan?
Jane.
Okay. Good answer. So, I don't think any of us have. Okay? But it says in verse 10, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Have we cast, do we sit here and cast out devils out of each other? Cast out demons? No, that's not what we do. But it's in the New Testament. And this is what the point that we're trying to get across is you have to be able to rightly divide the Bible and understand who it's talking to here, who it's talking to here. So even though it's in the New Testament, you can't safely say, I'm going to go out and heal the sick. I'm going to go out and cast out all these devils. Okay? That's foolish. Even though Christ gave them power, he didn't give that power to us. He gave that power to the disciples. For that time, for that purpose, you know, it's again, like I said, before the New Testament is in effect, before Christ has died on the cross, this is what Christ tells them to do. Okay? But after that, that's no longer applicable. We're doing something different. We're not talking, again, in verse 6, it talks about the house of Israel. They're only going to Jews. They're only going to Israel. Okay? We as Christians, we go to Gentiles. We go to the whole world and preach Christ. Okay? So again, that's the idea, is rightly dividing the word of truth. Got to figure out who it's kind of applied to. So, and I think this will be a kind of good lead in to Sarah, because what she's going to go over tonight is about the three people groups in the Bible. So, any questions on that from anybody? Does that make sense? Even though we're in the New Testament, it's directly not to us as the church. Okay, that's the point we're trying to get across. So without further ado, here's Sarah.
Is this recording?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I know Caleb already prayed, but I'm just going to pray real quick, and then we'll get into our next two rules. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that we get to set aside and just come together and fellowship and study your word, Lord. I just thank you so much for each and everybody here. I just pray that you'll get me out of the way and just talk through me. I thank you for the things that you laid on my heart, and I just pray that I can communicate it clearly to them and that everybody will get some sort of blessing out of this tonight, Lord. And I just thank you so much that we have a Bible that we get to study and just such an amazing church and a community that we get to be a part of. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this was a little assignment, was a good segue into what I'm going to talk about tonight, because kind of something that's really important for you to get down is context, and that's what we've been drilling into you guys for the past 2 weeks. So before we get into our next two rules, I want to talk about the number three for a second. Almost everything in the universe can be broken down into a pattern of three. And that's because the Lord patterned the universe off of himself, and the Lord's a Trinity. There's three parts. You have God the Father, you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. There's three. And 1 John 5:7, it lays this out for us, and it tells us, 1 John 5:7 says, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So God's broken down into three. He's a Trinity, but all three parts are one. And so if you think about it in other aspects of our life, so many things can be broken down into three basic concepts. 1 Thessalonians 5:32, you don't have to turn there, but it lays out how we are broken down into three things. We have a body, We have a soul and we have a spirit. There's three parts to us, our body, soul, and spirit. On earth, you have land, you have sea, and you have air, right? We have land, we have water, we have air. In music, who here does anything with music? Awesome. You know that there's harmony, there's melody, and there's rhythm, yeah? Who here likes art? Okay, in art, or just in life in general, you have three primary colors. You have red, you have yellow, and you have blue. And from those three colors, you can make any other color from the entire rainbow. So if you guys could probably sit here, and we could all probably come up with 100 different things on this earth that are broken down into three. It's just, it's a common pattern that's in the world. And the Bible is no exception. We see patterns of three all over the Bible. And this really comes into play when we look at our next two rules. So rule number three, which is kind of a funny coincidence, it's rule number three. Rule number three, so the third thing we're going to talk about tonight is that the Bible is written to three, there's that word again, different people groups. You have the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church, okay? So we're going to talk about each of these groups. It's really important to understand these groups because they're addressed at different times in the Bible. And all goes back to what we were talking about, just like what Caleb was talking about when he was up here, determining that context, figuring out who God's writing to. Okay, so we're going to look at our first people group. We're going to look at the Jews. Who are the Jews? So the Jews, this is the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel is such a key player in the Bible. It's really important for us to first see how the nation of Israel started. So everybody turn to Genesis 12, your very first book in the Bible. Genesis 12, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. Before we do that, I'm just going to kind of give you a little bit of a segue into it. So the Lord calls out one man from the blessed line of Shem, and his name is Abraham. So we're going to talk about Abraham for a second. And the Lord sets him apart, and the Lord makes a promise to Abraham. And we're going to read this promise. We can see it in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So the Lord calls out Abraham and he tells him that a nation's going to come from him. And he blesses him and it says that he makes his name great. I don't know, but that's some deal that the Lord made with Abraham. Like, that's some promise. Like, I look at that and it makes me really stop and wonder, why did God do that with Abraham? What was it about Abraham that the Lord made this promise to say, from you, I'm going to make this huge nation. From you, I'm going to make your name great, and all the families are going to come from you. So what did the Lord see in Abraham? Why did he choose Abraham? Well, let's turn a couple chapters over, a little pages over. In Genesis 15, so just about two pages over, verses 5 through 6. You there? Genesis 15, verses 5 through 6. Emily, will you read that when you get there?
15, 5 through 6.
Yep, nice and loud.
Okay. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Very good. So it says that God brought him forth and abroad. So God takes Abraham and he brings him out and he says, "Look up in the sky." Abraham says, "Okay." And he looks up in the sky and God says, "Do you see all those stars up there?" Who's here has been out in the country where there's like no city lights and you can look up in the sky and you can see the stars? How cool is that? It kind of just makes you stop and feel really, really small for a second, huh? Yeah? So the Lord brings Abraham out and he says, "I'm going to make your seed as many as the stars in the sky." And Abraham believed him. He said, "All right, Lord, if that's what you said, I believe you." And the Lord says that he counts it unto him as righteousness. And so we see that Abraham believed in the Lord. And it says that the Lord, and the Lord tells Abraham that his seed is going to be greater than all those stars, and Abraham believed him. Abraham had faith. Abraham obeyed and believed what the Lord said. And Abraham chose to do what was right and follow the Lord, even when no one else would. And because of that, the Lord made a promise to Abraham. And because of that, the Lord was able to use Abraham. Abraham was willing. There was nothing special about him. He wasn't the strongest or toughest man. He wasn't the smartest man on the planet. He wasn't a superhero, but he was willing. And because of that willing spirit, the Lord was able to use him. Because Abraham obeyed and believed what the Lord was telling him. So it kind of made me stop and pause and think about it. If the Lord blesses you, if there's something in your life and you get blessed, it's not because of what you did, but it's because of what you did right with the Word of God. It's not because I'm a great person, so I'm getting all these blessings, because if you know me, I'm super awesome. No, that's not it at all. It's because if I have a blessing, it's because I'm doing something right with the Word of God, because the Lord can look at me and say, you know what? Olivia, you're being an obedient servant. I want to bless that. Or Logan, you know what? You're really sticking with the stuff. I want to honor that. Or Addie, you know what? I see such a willing heart in you. I want to honor that. And so it's not because of what we do. It's what we do with the Word of God. And, you know, ultimately it all goes back to what the Lord did for me. I wouldn't even have my Bible. I wouldn't even know what was right or wrong. I wouldn't even have my church or the relationship with the Lord if it wasn't for what Christ did for me on the cross. Let's go turn over to Ephesians 2 real quick. We're going to be flipping in our Bibles a lot, so make sure those thumbs are nice and warmed up. So Ephesians chapter 2. Kind of in the back towards your Bible. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So this is telling us that not by works am I saved. It's through faith. So I just kind of wanted to pause and kind of touch on that. That it's not my ability. It's not even my personality, but it's because of the Lord. And just like that verse says, it's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. All right, so let's turn our focus back on Abraham. So Abraham has a son named Isaac, and it's called his promised seed. And Isaac has a son named Jacob. And from Jacob, you have the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And this is when you really start to see the nation of Israel start to form. It all started with Abraham. And from his seed, you start to progress. And all of a sudden, you get these 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And for the rest of the Old Testament, into the beginning of the New Testament, the Lord is dealing with the nation of Israel. This is his people. This is his people that he has called out. He has set them apart. We see their formation. We see their calling out, their kings, the great battles and victories that they have, and their defeats. And we also see how the Lord uses other nations to kind of test the nation of Israel, to see if they're going to do right, to see if they're going to stick with the stuff. So it's really important for us to understand the nation of Israel, the Jews, and what the Lord did with them, and even what the Lord is going to do with them. The nation of Israel isn't just a key player in the Old Testament. God's not finished with them yet. He still has a plan for them. The nation of Israel is put on hold, and we'll see why in a second. And one day the Lord will deal with them once again, because the Lord made a promise to Abraham. He said, "I'm going to make a nation out of you, and I'm going to do something with this nation, and these are going to be my people." And the Lord always, 100%, always sticks with his promises. So we know that the Lord's not done with the nation of Israel yet. So knowing the nation of Israel and God's plan for them will unlock so many things in your Bible. I know that when I started reading my Bible, I knew I'd heard of Israel. I knew it was like a country over across the ocean some way. I had no idea what an importance it played in the Bible. I had no idea the importance of the Jews in the Bible. And I had no idea of how much of a puzzle piece it was for me to understand my relationship with the Lord and what the Lord's doing. So this is just a really quick overview, kind of touching on just the basis of the nation of Israel and how they started. And just, I hope you guys can understand the importance of it. And, you know, it's something that I'm still putting together. It takes a long time to understand the full picture. But hopefully this can just be one little piece of the puzzle to help you guys stick in mind that the first people group that the Lord addresses in the Bible, as we're going to see, is the nation of Israel. Okay? So, we have our first one down. Woohoo! All right, the next one we're going to talk about, the second people group, because we know that there's three, is the Gentiles, okay? So a Gentile is literally anybody who's not a Jew, okay? So we see that there's a nation of Israel, we see that there's Abraham, and the Lord calls out a nation from him. So now we have the nation of Israel. Everybody else is a Gentile. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 2. We're going to kind of see this little division here in this verse. So Romans 2 verse 10. Olivia, will you read that please, nice and loud?
2 verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Awesome. So in this verse it says, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So here, see it clearly laid out in this verse that there's two groups of people. They're different. They're set apart. It shows us in, so in the very beginning of the Bible, you just had Gentiles. Everyone was a Gentile. It wasn't until the Lord called out Abraham, do you see that division take place? Do you see now a new people group is formed? As we said, the Jews. And now you have the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, kind of getting it? Awesome. Okay, so now we have the Gentiles are here. The Lord sees Abraham, says, you're doing what's right, you're sticking with the stuff from you, I'm going to pull out a different nation, this is going to be my nation, okay? So now we have the nation of Israel, so we got two, okay? So now, the Old Testament, we got the nation of Israel and the Gentiles, okay? Well, now, we're going to talk about our last people group, and we see one more people group pulled out, and this is the church. Okay, so we have the Jews, we have the Gentiles, and now we're going to talk about the third group, which is the church. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, the Jews rejected him. His own people, the nation over here that he called out, completely rejected him. His own people denied him who he was, and they crucified him. They killed him on the cross, his own people. The nation of Israel did not believe that he was the Son of God, and even after his death, they didn't believe him. In Acts 8, we see God give them one more chance to believe and do what's right, but they didn't. John 1:10. Let me read that real quick. John 1:10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I'm going to read that again. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Christ was in the world that he made. He made the world, and the world didn't even know who he was. That's how far off the nation of Israel and the people on earth were, that they didn't believe. Of course, you have the people who did believe that he was the Son of God, but his own nation rejected him and they crucified him. So, you know, it kind of makes me think, Christ is the one who created this world and the world didn't even know him or who he was. But truly, how many times in my life is the Lord trying to reveal himself to me and I ignore him? I choose to not know who he is. I choose not to listen or I don't care. But it's our job to know him. It's our job to know when he's knocking on our heart and trying to get something across to us and to not ignore it. So, okay. So, Christ is on this earth. The nation of Israel rejects him. They crucify him. And the Lord, from that point on, and they refuse to do what's right. So the Lord takes the nation of Israel and he puts them on hold. He says, all right, you guys are not listening to me. I'm going to put you in hold. We can all relate it to kind of being like put in time out. We've all been there. Yeah. So the Lord kind of puts the nation of Israel on hold and he creates something new. And this is when we see the church age. And this is us. We right now, we are in the church age. We are the church. Okay. And so in the Old Testament, the Lord dealt with nations, as we said, the nation of Israel. But in the New Testament, in the church age, the Lord deals with individuals, you and me. And so because Christ died on the cross, we now have an individual choice that we can make to have the ability to be set apart from the world and become a new creature in Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Romans 8:17 even lays out how that we can now become joint heirs with Christ. We're close to Romans, so let's flip over to Romans real quick and read that verse. Romans 8:17. Caitlin, will you read that when you get there?
Yes. 8:17?
Yes, please.
And if children of God, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Awesome. Thank you. So it's saying that, you know, as soon as we become a part of this church age, that we get to be joint heirs with him. So let's kind of, before I was saved, I was a Gentile. I was not a part of the nation of Israel. And until I got saved, I was a Gentile. But when I repented of my sin, when I confessed with my mouth that the Lord Jesus is my Savior, and I believed in my heart that he raised from the dead for me, as Romans 10:9 says, I become a part of the body of Christ, the church. So we're in Romans. Let's go read that passage real quick. Romans chapter 10. I warned you it was going to be a lot of flipping. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Do you have something, Logan?
No.
All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that came upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see this passage, it clearly lays out the process of salvation. And in verse 12, we see this breakdown of those three people groups that we have been talking about. The Lord makes it clear that in the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. And Greek is, it's the Gentiles. They're not part of the nation of Israel. So there's neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile, because when you enter into the church, we all become one in the Lord. Okay? And Galatians 3 verse 28 lays that out. I'll just flip there real quick and read that. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Okay? So let's kind of talk about what the church is. It's really important to know what the church is. 2 Corinthians 5:1 lays out what the church is. Let's turn there real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 says, for we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, an house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. So the church is an eternal building made without hands. It's not a physical building. It's something spiritual. You know, this is something that's really important for me to understand. And I think it's something that's really important for all of us here to understand. Because of this verse, it tells us that the church is not something physical. It's not something physical that I have to walk into to go to church. It's something spiritual. That is why I can be a part of Old Path Old Paths Baptist Church, 215 miles away in Kansas City, because it's not based on something physical. I'm a part of this body of Christ because it's a spiritual thing. We're all right here a part of a church because it's something spiritual. It's not something physical. You don't have to be in a physical building. The book of Ephesians, if you ever want to understand the church, is a great place to start. It lays out the whole concept of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. All right, it's a long passage. Who wants to read it? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Addie, you want to read it? Awesome. 11 through 16.
11, oh.
Yeah, you got it, girl.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son to God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie, and in wit to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Awesome job. Thank you. So this verse is laying out the church. We see in this passage, we see in verse 11 and 12, it lays out why we have the church. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body. And verse 15 and 16 tells us that the Christ is the head of that body. We're the body. We're the body of Christ in the church, and Christ is the head. He's our chief cornerstone. He's our leader. He's like the top of the triangle. Yeah. We all have a part of this body to get the job done. We all have a part of the church. In another passage, it lays out how, you know, talking more about how the church is a body, how, you know, if I'm the eye and Addie's the foot and Olivia's the hand and Betania's the ear, we all have a part and we all have a job to do in the body. And if I'm the eye, I can't be the foot. I can't be worried about what the foot's doing. I got to be focused on seeing. That's my job. Addie's got to be the one that keeps us walking. Yeah. So we all work together as one, as Christ is our head, to do his work, to fulfill what he has for us here on this earth. And that's why the church and being a part of a church is so important, so that we can have that. It's kind of like our vehicle to get us where we need to go and to do what we need to do for the Lord. So there we have it. We have our three people groups. We have the Jews, which is the nation of Israel. We have the Gentiles, who's anyone who's not a part of the nation of Israel or a part of the body of Christ. Okay? So, and then we have the church. Anyone who is a born-again believer, follow Christ, and is now a part of his body. So where we're in the Old Testament, we started out with the Gentiles, and God calls out a group of people, which is the Jews, awesome, the nation of Israel. So now we have two groups of people, but we have three. So the Lord, he says, all right, here's my plan, my last final plan. He creates the body of Christ, and anybody from the Jews or Gentiles can call on the Lord and become a part of the body of Christ. So now we have three different people groups. And so at different points in the Bible, they're addressing different people groups. Just like we saw in our activity that we did with Caleb. Sometimes the passage is just talking to the nation of Israel. Sometimes they're talking just to Gentiles. And sometimes the passage is talking just to me, the church. Just like he talked about with Paul. Yeah? So every single passage in the Bible, like I just said, is talking to one of these three groups, and that's it. So it's important to get them down and to understand the differences. It all goes back to what we keep on saying, determining a C word.
Context.
Awesome. Okay, so real quick, I just want to talk about how we can apply this rule. So let's turn to James chapter 1. Sorry, James is such a little book, it always gets lost back in there. All right, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. Sela, will you read that when you get there? It's after Hebrews, before Peter. Keep going back farther, backwards. Yep, towards the back of your Bible. James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 2. Awesome, Sela. Thank you, honey.
Chapter 1.
Yep, verses 1 through 2.
Okay, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations.
Awesome. Okay. So thinking about these three people groups that we just talked about, and looking at verse 1, what stands out to you about verse 1 that would help you determine who he is addressing? There's like a key phrase. It's two words. I want to see if somebody else can answer. Okay? I'll give you a hint. It's two words kind of in the middle of the first verse. Do you know what it is, Olivia? 12 tribes. Awesome. Do you guys remember when I was talking about a guy named Abraham? Mm-hmm. And he had a son named Isaac. And then he had a son named, anybody remember, it starts with a J?
Jacob.
And what did I say came from Jacob?
12 tribes.
The 12 tribes. Remember we talked about the 12 tribes and they started the nation of Israel. Awesome. So in this passage right here, if I'm reading the first verse, he's saying, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he's addressing the nation of Israel. And so that's just kind of a little exercise that you guys can, you know, start to look for those key things. Who is he addressing? Who is he talking to? Just like in the exercise that we did before, is it talking about being saved by the blood and being born again? Well, we know that's going to be the church. If it's talking about the 12 tribes or the kingdom of heaven, we know that's going to be the nation of Israel. Yeah? So it all goes back to what we keep saying over and over again, is that the whole Bible is written for you, but the whole Bible is not written to you. And now we can understand why the whole Bible is not written to me. Sometimes the Lord's writing to the nation of Israel. That's not to me. I'm a part of the church age. Sometimes he's talking to the Gentiles. That's not me. I'm no longer a Gentile. So that's our next rule that we're going to talk about. We had one more rule that we're going to go over, but I think we're running a little over on time, and it's almost 8:15. Sorry. Time goes fast and you're having fun, guys. but can you guys promise me that you will remember what we talked about tonight? Because it's going to be really important when we talk about the next rule. Do you guys want to keep going?
Yeah.
I think it would probably take a while for me to lay out the next rule. So I'll save it for next time. But that means you guys have to be remembering this and reviewing your notes before we come next time, because it just snowballs off of what we talked about tonight. Yeah, does that sound good?
Hey, we can do it in Kansas City.
Yeah, Olivia? There's no assignments for this activity except for what I just said, to make sure that you just tuck this away in your head. I challenge you guys to just open up and start reading chapters and start seeing if you can figure out who God's talking to. Start applying these rules and then use that to keep your brain sharp for next time we meet. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. What are the three people groups?
Jews.
You guys are awesome. All right. Who wants to close us out on a word of prayer? Or you want to say something? Sorry.
You're fine. Just Sarah said one thing that I really, I don't know, just thinking about. So She talked about how when she was growing up and, you know, you hear these Bible stories and stuff, she had heard about this nation of Israel and stuff. She'd heard about, you know, maybe Jews or something in the Bible. Didn't really know what it meant, though. Didn't know the importance. And that's kind of the same with me. It's just amazing to me, though, when you look at the Bible and you look at who it's dealing with. Okay, you look at, we'll just take the Old Testament from the New Testament. Okay, even though all, like I said, all the New Testament isn't written directly for the church. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt. Okay, even so, you have this much of your Bible right here that's written all dealing with the nation of Israel. The whole Old Testament, okay? I guess you have the couple chapters in Genesis that are before Abraham, but everything since Abraham to the end of the Old Testament is dealing with the nation of Israel. That's how important they are. The church, let's narrow it down. It starts in about Acts 12. Acts 12, 13 goes, and then goes to about Hebrews, where he's writing to the church. The church would be about this much, something around here, in your Bible. This little. This is the portion that's written to the church. Okay? My point is, absolutely, the church is an important piece of God's plan, overall plan. But you have to look at it in perspective. Sarah said something, how the nation of Israel, God's not done with them. Okay? He didn't write this much of the Bible to Israel to just give up on them, to just throw them aside and say, okay, we're done with you. He's done that for now, but he's still going to bring them back. And you always have to remember that. So that's just, again, you can't stress the importance of understanding the role of the nation of Israel in the Bible, who they are. Okay, you look at something, I don't know, just thinking kind of loud. You guys all hear about World War I and World War II, right? You guys hear about that in school, you learn, oh, you know, World War I, you had this event that led to this event that led to this event, and, you know, these nations went at each other. And then World War II, well, you had this guy named Hitler who comes to power in Germany, and he doesn't like the Jews, and, you know, who are the Jews? You know, they're just a group of people living around Europe. You know, it doesn't really matter, but in the end you have Germany and Italy and all these nations, and then they go against England and USA, and in the end USA starts fighting Japan and all that. That's what you get in school. That's what they teach you. Okay, they have all these stuff coming on. Okay, but if you look at it from the Bible perspective, from God's perspective, all it came down to was dealing with the nation of Israel. Okay, the whole goal of God through those two wars was to get Israel back in their land. Okay, once God threw away Israel and started dealing with just the church, they were in a mess, they were in apostasy, they were spread abroad all over the earth. They were in Europe, they were in USA, they were in, you know, everywhere. They pretty much were not in their land at all. God gave the promised land to Israel. Okay, so the whole goal of God through those two wars was to get Israel back into their land. So if you look at it from God's perspective, World War I got the land ready for the Jew. Okay, at the end of World War I, you had guys in England that said, all right, we're going to give the Jews their land back. It's ready. We as England, we occupy this land of Israel, this little piece of land in the Middle East. They say, we occupy this, we're ready to send the Jews back, officially name it as their land. But there were some people that went against that and said, no, that's unfair to the Muslim nations and Islam, and we can't just say that, you know, this is God's land for Israel or whatever. They, you know, so the land was ready for the Jews, but the Jews weren't ready to go back. So that's World War II. World War I got the land ready for the Jew. World War II gets the Jew ready to go back to the land. They get persecuted. They get 6-7 million Jews killed by Hitler in the Holocaust. You hear about that all the time. And then you get people to start saying, well, we feel bad for these Jews. We're gonna let them have their land now. And that's how that works. Okay, God, to him, you have all these nations fighting together. To God, it's just get the Jews back in the land. That's how important that is to him. Okay, to everyone else, it's, you have this going on, look here, you have this great general who did this thing, and, you know, USA dropped the atom bomb on Japan and all that. To God, that means nothing to him. He's just trying to get his people, because he's still dealing with them. That's what I talked about, is how important they are. That's what Sarah mentioned, is how important Israel is to God. He's just trying to get them back in the land. Okay, that was his whole goal through World War I and World War II. So that's looking at history through a Bible perspective, through God's perspective. So just wanted to kind of talk about that. That's something, again, I didn't understand at all until 2 years ago or less. But I just can't stress that enough, is how important the nation of Israel to God and his plan. So without that, one more thing I wanted to mention was we were in Kansas City last weekend, and Zach, I had several of like kind of the youth people, Zach and Jamie and Danny. They're just talking about stuff, and they wanted me to tell you guys just how proud they are of us as Team Delta, because they think that a lot of their kids have been really challenged by us. They were talking about on the bus going back when they were here a couple weeks ago, how, you know, some of the younger kids were, you know, they like to kind of just, some of the younger kids just felt they were able to kind of sink in the crowd and not really need to do anything. But, I mean, when you have, like, Olivia and Hannah and some of the younger kids giving really good devotions, it's beginning to challenge even some of the kids in Kansas City who have grown up in this great church all their life, okay? They're feeling challenged by us, and that's something you guys should be proud of. You guys should be proud of, you know, your hospitality, your, you know, how you've taken them in, and just it's been two great weekends when they've come. And so Zach wanted me to make sure you guys knew that they're very proud of us, and they just want us to keep up the good work. So we'll look forward to next time when they come. That's in 2 weeks. And so any other announcements?
Addie and Ryan on deck to give some devotions next time. So if there's anybody else who'd like to, and Aubrey, and if there's anybody else who'd like to give a devotion next time that they come, just come up to us. Maybe we'll talk. We also will start getting dates locked down for next year, too, because December's only 2 months away, so.
Yeah. So any questions on that? Any questions on Hayride? Anybody about that? Okay.
Thanks for being such good listeners. Yeah.
Good job, guys. So we're gonna go up and get some homemade pizza, personal pizzas. And then we're hold on. Not quite done yet. She's gonna go up. Lulu, what's your question? We're leaving at 12:30 on Saturday. So if you're coming, be at our house at 12:15. Okay.
Next weekend.
So, all right, I'm going to close out. Word of prayer. All right, Logan, can you close us out in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for some of the stuff that we got to learn today and get into your word and learn some stuff, and just pray for the rest of our evening. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
What?